Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio Network. Our purpose on Journey to Success Radio is to interview people who are making a difference in the world. And we're going to explore important aspects and areas of life, including business, relationships, social media, disabilities, spiritual, and many, many more interesting topics. Our broadcast team so far consists of outstanding people from both Canada and the U.S., including several Napoleon Hill certified instructors and authors. My name is Tom Tutall Cunningham. I'm a Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructor. I'm also a regular contributor to their weekly newsletter, and I recently spoke at the 2012 Napoleon Hill International Convention in Malaysia, where I shared the stage with Deepak Chopra, who was the keynote speaker for that event. I've had rheumatoid arthritis from my jaw to my toes since the age of 5. That's 44 years now. And I've had 4 hips, 4 knees, and 2 shoulders replaced and been hospitalized about 40 times. I also stand about 5'1". Sometimes I lie and say 5'2", and that's due to the heavy daily doses of the oral steroid prednisone that I had to take to fight my arthritis. Despite those physical challenges, I am very well known for always answering amazing when asked how I am doing. I'm also a senior editorial researcher for the Canadian Business Journal, which is a digital-only publication, and we are the official and only media partner of the Canadian Chamber of Commerce. You can find out more about me at my website at tom2talld.com. My guest today is Brandon Krieger, who I met while I was filming taping a show for Rogers TV and Business here in Mississauga with the host David Wojcik. Brandon's show is airing today, so he's getting a bunch of media exposure today. He is the president of KNSS Consulting Group and a Toronto social media marketing consultant. He provides his Toronto social media marketing consulting clients systems on how to properly brand, research, and build a massive active community using social media marketing. He also educates his clients on how to properly educate their new community on the importance of their product or service through their various social networks. Brandon shows how to build joint venture partnerships that grow each business organically in what he calls community growth. His success is largely due to how fast he was able to grow his Twitter community and his ability to build relationships on his social networks using effective social media marketing. Welcome to the show today, Brandon.
Thanks, Tom.
You are all over the place today with Rogers TV and Business and now this show. And when the description there, one thing caught my eye about the joint venture partnerships and community growth. This is something I have not heard of before as it relates to social media marketing. So tell us a little bit about that, because that's an interesting topic.
Well, what I'm finding with social media marketing and doing it myself, there's so many people that are on, you know, Twitter, Facebook, all these social networks. But what happens is they're bringing the old kind of paradigm of, it's my business, I have to work for myself, I have to build my client base, and I have to, it's all me, me, me. Well, what happens with social media now, because you build connections worldwide, I mean, I've met people all over the world, if you work with them and joint venture, you build great relationships, you build your business a lot faster, and you help to educate their community on the same path, because now it's so much more convenient, because you get to talk to, you know, industry leaders and say, look, you know what can I do to help you? What can I do to work with you? And right now with social media, it's so easy to connect with, you know, these gurus, these experts, and be able to do that, and you build each other's community. You build each other's business as well.
Which is kind of a little bit of the purpose of my Blog Talk Radio show and what we're doing right exactly at this moment, because I only have so much knowledge and information to share myself. But as you mentioned, with social media, I have people contact me from all over the world with amazing stories. And so if I'm interviewing someone like you or some great authors, Napoleon Hill Foundation authors and different speakers, when they share their interview that I did with them on their social media and I share it on mine, my people get to know about them and their people get to know about me. And so it's a way for both of us to work together and for people to get to know different people in their network, isn't it?
Oh, exactly. I mean, what we call the scarcity mentality, where you had to be isolated to your business model, has completely changed over the last like year to 2 years, where it's more of the abundant state, where you can achieve success. As long as you're open to it, you be authentic, you help people, you'll see that success grow.
I love that so much, because that is a lot of Napoleon Hill's message. Not the scarcity mentality, but there's enough business around for everybody. And if you operate from scarcity, you're not going to share knowledge, information, and ideas with your prospects and customers that could benefit them, because you'll be in that negative state of not wanting them to find out about someone that, you know, is not directly related to their business.
So true. I mean, the challenge I find sometimes when going to meetings is that you talk to people that have that old paradigm, that old mindset that, you know, I can't talk about that, I can't say this, I can't put myself out there, because what if people will say a certain thing? What if they think a certain way? Well, let them start the conversation, because then you can work with them and build that. And that's where you're seeing the younger population, the younger community growing so quickly. I mean, you look on YouTube, these YouTuber, you know, anywhere between, I think it's 15 and 25-year-olds, are making six-figure salaries just by doing YouTube videos.
And some of them go viral. I was watching some Indian guy singing the Gangnam style song totally wrong and incorrectly and in a hilarious fashion, although he thought he was singing it well. And it had 13 million views. 13 million. And this guy didn't even know what he was doing.
Oh, for sure. I mean, look at this. Some of the top YouTubers are getting more views than Fox, CBC, you know, CBS,
wow.
All these national. And they're getting like 13 million views per video, for a 2-minute to 5-minute video, where they're doing, you know, the stations are doing half an hour to, you know, 60-minute shows. These guys are getting, you know, 13, 40 million views per, you know, a 2-minute show.
And they didn't have to go to a studio. They didn't have to have expensive equipment. They didn't have to spend a lot of money. And even I just found out on my YouTube station how you could monetize it and put ads on your video. These guys are doing it for almost no cost, no experience, no equipment. And as you say, they're getting more than people who stations who spend their whole lives trying to attract people to their show.
Exactly.
It's kind of funny. They should hire some of these young guys. Now, Brendan, I generally start or build it in somewhere in the interview. My favorite author, Napoleon Hill, and I know that you're familiar with him and Brian Tracy and a bunch of others that we both know. When was or how old were you when you first read Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich? And was there someone special in your life that said, you should read this book?
Well, the funny thing, when I first got introduced to Napoleon Hill, it was, I was 28, and I joined a network marketing company. It was USANA, and they're all about motivation, mindset, and just, you know, how you can overcome your challenges and if you had the right mindset. And one of the books they recommend, and I remember this to the day, is they recommended Think and Grow Rich, and I read that within like a weekend. And I'm not much of a reader, but I read it in a weekend, and it just made total sense how you look at the guys that have accomplished, you know, great things, or historians, and what they had to go through.
Oh, and some of them, like, boy, Thomas Edison failing at 10,000 attempts creating the electric light bulb. Wow, most of us would give up before 10,000 failures.
Well, I mean, look at the average person. I'll be honest with myself. If I had to try 10 times, I probably would give up. Like, that's just too much.
Yeah, exactly. And so this is not a theoretical book like a lot of success books, where he actually interviewed, and in those days, interviewing, you only had two ways, in person or on the phone, maybe three by letters as well. Mm-hmm. But he personally interviewed over 500 of the people that you and I basically walk around our houses in our life with electric light bulbs, and Henry Ford, the founder of Parker Pens, and Woolworth, and presidents of the U.S. And so he got actual interviews about what was important to them in achieving success. So it's a really, really well-written book with a lot of research behind it. Now, when you first read that, was that the first exposure you had to personal development? Because when I first met you, you talked about Brian Tracy as well, which, since we're both Canadians, Brian Tracy is also a Canadian.
Right, exactly. Oh, now I've studied Anthony Robbins, Brian Tracy, and I mean, this was in, let's see, 96, 97, when I started to get introduced to these motivational speakers and just the mindset, because I started in martial arts. And when I did that, it was just the mindset of how to accomplish success, how to overcome challenges. And it just kept me going through since then. I just kept, you know, just absorbing, almost like a sponge, all this great information.
Wow. Did you continue with the martial arts? Because I tell anybody who will listen, and even my wife's kids, nephews, nieces, anybody, that is an amazing training for life, and even something people should put on a resume, because the self-discipline you learn, the all the different things you learn other than the actual martial arts itself, is an incredible experience for life, isn't it?
Oh, for sure. I mean, it teaches you, you know, dedication, honor, respect. I mean, especially if you're looking at the old style of martial arts. I mean, the new ones are more the fighting style when you look at mixed martial arts. And they have some kind of philosophy to it in history. But when you look at the older ones, there's a lot more kind of discipline and training in the mind versus just the body. And I mean, these guys, MMA guys, are just phenomenal, the athletes and what they can do. But when you look at the history of martial arts and you look at the training of, you know, discipline, honor, respect, your word is your bond. If you say something, you're going to follow through with that. That one, that carries with me to this day.
Exactly. And then the mutual respect as well. You can see them fighting in the old style martial arts, but there is mutual respect for the opponent. They bow before, they you know, they speak well of their opponent. And so that mutual respect kind of goes along with what you mentioned about social media marketing, where, you know, you don't have to operate from a scarcity mentality. If you have respect for your opponent, doesn't mean you're going to fight any less hard and try to win, but if you don't win, you're not going to badmouth your opponent or say anything bad about them.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you're in that kind of tournament mentality, I mean, that event is that event, and then after you show respect, you show honor, you know, and you respect the person you've sparred with, right?
Exactly. Now, maybe you could define what exactly is social media marketing, because everybody will kind of know social media, but they don't always know what the marketing part of social media is. And so why, before we talk about it, let's define it so people really can get a grip on how they can use marketing with social media.
So my definition, I mean, is like on some of the gurus and the experts are out there. Social media marketing is just a tool like you use your telephone. Right? It's a social community, and I want to kind of clarify that, because some people, I'm sure, are listening and thinking, oh, my God, do I have to talk about my cats and the cake that I ate last week? No, it's a social community, just like you'd go into a business meeting, just like you go into a network meeting, where you're going to talk to a certain demographic, people that might be interested in automotive, people might be interested in electronics, whatever that may be. But that social aspect is online in just massive communities. And then what you're doing that is you're networking with people and you're marketing and teaching these people the benefit. And I always teach this in all my videos and all my articles I talk about. It's about the education first. So I'm educating people, just like I would do with a date, and I'm courting someone. I'm talking, I'm asking them questions about themselves, I'm getting to know them better, and then as well as I'm expressing what I feel and what I like. So we're building up that relationship. Then on top of that, you're answering questions. So in a business mindset, it's, you know, customer service and support. And then from that, from social media marketing, you're taking the people from the online systems that you have on, just like your telephone. So if you're on Facebook, you're on Twitter, you're on LinkedIn, Google+, you know, Pinterest, whatever that, you know, medium that you're using, you're taking them from online systems and bringing them onto offline, you know, areas where you might bring them to your website or give me a call or, you know, send me an email, whatever that may be, because then you can build that relationship even stronger. And that's really what social media marketing is. It's how to educate and connect with people on a mass level.
Exactly. And in my experience, for instance, I'm in a distributor of OrganoGold, who's the healthy coffee company, and they're partners with the Napoleon Hill Foundation. 70-80% of the people who have joined my business or my downline found me online. I've never met them. They're in places I've never been to. They found me through my Napoleon Hill writing, and then on my web pages I have ads and little mentions about OrganoGold and earning extra money. And so I attracted them because they love Napoleon Hill, and then I was able to convert them to a customer because I have a little ad about OrganoGold on my web pages. And you had mentioned something as well maybe I want to talk about is that, you know, people will say, well, I don't have to talk about my dogs or pets. Well, I'm thinking of people who don't have a business. They're not doing it like as an incorporated sort of business, but if there are people who love dogs, and I got two of them, they can write and talk about dogs every day. They could put up an article, how to care for, how to feed, how to walk, pictures of, and then they attract other dog lovers. And so, hey, this is fun to talk about something that is a passion. But then also, if you have a little ad on every page about something that you're doing, perhaps even network marketing, you're attracting people with a similar interest. And then without even mentioning it or forcing it down their throat or bugging your friends and neighbor, you're kind of attracting people to your business just by seeing the little ad you have beside the article you wrote about grooming a dog, for instance.
For sure. I mean, and that's what I was saying. When you look at the analogy or the scenario of a network marketing event, or, you know, where you're going to like a meetup group or whatever that may be, you're going to that group to talk about a specific, you know, niche, you know, maybe it's something that you enjoy, something you're passionate about. And the reason why I kind of qualify that, you don't have to be in those conversations where maybe you're not interested. So just give an example. Say I'm not interested in chess. I do play chess, but say I'm not interested. I'm not going to go search out groups and follow conversations where someone's talking about chess games. I'll probably search people that are talking about iPhones and, you know, martial arts and mixed martial arts and, you know, and maybe even the sporting events that are happening this weekend, whatever that may be, because that's where my interest is. It doesn't mean I'd have to be engulfed in that, because social media is just a big party, right, with all different types of people of all different levels. You've got your business people, you've got your CEOs on there, plus you've got your, you know, your younger, you know, teenagers talking about, you know, music videos and whatever that may be. So it depends where you want to go in that conversation.
Right, and you can be any age. If you have a passion for something, I'm thinking of my mother-in-law and father-in-law who love dancing. And so, you know, whatever your passion is, if it's something you can write about, you like to read about and talk about, anybody can do social media when they have a passion, something that they really love. And so anybody can get into it. And with a lot of these WordPress blogs and various blogging sites, they can get into it for free as well, right?
Oh, for sure.
Now, let's talk about ROI, because I've been return on investment, for people who don't know what that. So return on investment on social media marketing. I've been examining this myself. For instance, I promote a bunch of books that Amazon sells. Books that I read, I will do a review and I'll promote them on my website. But then I was thinking the other day, like, jeepers, I've sold like 50 or 60 books in the past year, and the commission adds up they only pay out after $50, and it might take me like 50 years to get to $50. And so I've made some money, but it's been a small amount of money through Amazon as an affiliate, and it may take me 5 years to even get a check. And so people will want a better ROI than that. So give us some tips on how businesses, even individuals, let's say, can achieve an ROI on their social media marketing, if that is their purpose, if they're not just in it to, you know, make friends with people who have a like-minded passion of theirs, but if they're in it to make some money, give us some ideas on how they can, how a business can achieve that ROI on their social media marketing.
Well, let's kind of clarify. I mean, this is good. I mean, this is a conversation that happens when you're, I mean, I'm meeting and doing consultations with businesses, is that people think of the old style of ROI. So if I put out, you know, this poster, this ad, you know, I'm going to get so many views, so many eyes on it, and I should convert into a certain percentage. So if I get, you know, 5%, I'm doing well. If I get, you know, 10, 15%, we did awesome. If we get like 0.2%, wow, what happened? What was wrong with that ad? The challenge with that is that social media is not that billboard. You don't can't post something up once and think you're going to get a return on investment. The return, the true return on investment on social media is the audience that you're able to build that's engaging. Right? They, you interact, you answer questions, you help them to be active and be supportive. Then when you have a product or service and you launch it, you take them through that process. So from development to creative stages to, you know, maybe challenges that you're running into to the actual launch, you take them that through that process, you'll get a higher return, you know, the technical return on investment than you would if I just went on Facebook right now and said, guys, I'm selling my book, come buy it. People would be going, so what? What does that benefit for me? But if you take them through that journey, the return on investment is so much higher. And that's why I'm saying to companies, that's why the when you first start your marketing campaign and you first start, you know, using social media marketing, the first thing you need to think about is education. How am I going to educate the community and build up that massive community that understands what we do, understands our product and service, and sees the value in it? Even before I talk, I put a price out or a promotion, whatever that may be, to educate the community on the benefits.
Wow. And so I'm actually kind of maybe looking at ROI a little bit wrongly, because my website attracts so far 10 to 11,000 visits monthly, and about 40% of those are people who come back to the website. So 60% are unique visitors, 40% are repeat visitors. Mm-hmm. And so if you looked at your definition of ROI in social media marketing, that could be a good ROI, because I'm writing enough good stuff that 40% of my audience comes back and reads it more than once a month and comes back to the website. And so I'm obviously generating content that's of enough interest that out of the millions of websites they can look at on a monthly basis, they're looking at mine more than once.
Exactly. Now, to give you kind of a little tip here, if you have 40% of your community that keeps coming back on a consistent basis, that community growth right now comes into effect. How can you now help them? Because if you help them, they'll help you. It's that reciprocity. All right? If I help someone, they want to help me back, and we keep that exchange. And they eventually become what I consider is your extended sales force, because they start talking about you. And then through viral marketing, they share you through their networks. And to say if they have 100 to 200 people, and you know they have their friends have 100 to 200 people, now you start to go viral.
Yes, exactly. And now a small number compared to some people you deal with, but let's say I have an AWeber newsletter, and I have about 400 subscribers now. And whenever I send out a broadcast, I start and end with, how can I help you? Thank you so much. Because I subscribe to newsletters, fair number of them, and I realize that people can subscribe to a lot of newsletters. So I prolifically thank them for being a subscriber, thank them for reading, ask them, how can I help? Can I interview you for my show? Could I put you in one of my blogs? Can you write an article? Can I work with you one-on-one? And so that's, as you said, part of it now is, okay, now they repeat visitors signed up to my newsletter. always be thinking, how can I help these people? You may not be able to help them all, but if you offer, you know, a lot to help them and you're sincere about it, I think that makes a big difference, doesn't it?
Oh, for sure. And that's the thing with social media, and I tell people this. If you're not going to be true or authentic online and be yourself and relax, people will find you out. Someone will meet you at an event or whatever, and they'll tweet, they'll post, oh, my God, I can't believe, you know, he was so nice, he was so this. So be yourself because people will comment.
Exactly. And people, as you said, people will find you out. So you have to be authentic and willing to help, and especially with social media. If people find out you're a fake, pretty soon thousands of people will find out you're a fake, and they'll be going all over online. And so you need to protect and be authentic and honest with who you are. You can't be putting out something that if someone meets you in public, you're not, it's not who you are.
Exactly.
And so tell me, what do you recommend for business who are starting out on social media marketing? For instance, one thing I read in a book you mentioned, Crush It by Gary Vaynerchuk, was when you just start out, and you mentioned it earlier, don't be putting out things that are advertising and promoting and selling. Start out with some content where people are going to start reading about what you believe in, what you represent, who you are, and then get them part of your community and spend a bunch of time before you start selling and being obvious about your selling. So give us a few tips about any kind of business, even if it's especially small businesses. Big businesses can pay a lot of money for people who have all kinds of, you know, 9 degrees on social media marketing. But suppose you're a small business and you're starting out. What are some things that you can recommend for them that's not going to take 8 hours of their day, but is also going to build them a community that is interested in what they're doing?
So first thing I always do with any business that I work with, more the smaller business to entrepreneurs, the medium-sized to large business generally have this in place, but the small business to entrepreneurs, I normally look over their business model and make sure they're ready and they have a system in place to grow. The one challenge I found with, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs that are getting online, they're like, okay, yeah, I'm going to use social media marketing. I'm going to do very well. I'm going to write good articles. And all of a sudden they get a fluctuation or an increase of traffic. And now they're like, oh, my God, I can't support that. I have, you know, for example, using a massage therapist, I can only treat 20 clients. And now they do a great video, they do a great article, and they have 30, 40 clients trying to book in with them. So now they're turning them away. Right, so make sure first and foremost that your business model is ready to grow, right? Because that's the biggest thing, is you don't want to start turning clients away. The next thing is, for sure, start a marketing campaign of article marketing, video marketing, whatever that you feel most comfortable with that provides education up front. Now, if you don't have the time, there's ghostwriters out there. There's a website called Fiverr.com, Odesk, Fiverr.com is Fiverr.com, where you can get almost anything done for $5. You can get ghostwriters on Odesk, which are, you know, anywhere from $4 to, you know, maybe $10, $15 per article, where they can write you 52 articles, and you can put, you know, one out per week. So if you don't have that time to do that, there's systems out there that can help you. Now, one thing I want to kind of warning here, on these sites, they do have, you know, promotions where you can get followers and you can get likes. Don't do that because that's not going to build your business. Take your time, you know, through building your followers to build your community and build it authentically. Build the real people, because a lot of these tools don't get the right demographic, don't get the right people. They're dead accounts where there's no one really behind them. So make sure you do it properly. If you do those steps alone and you be consistent, and that's the biggest thing. Talking to in a meeting this morning, one of the guys was asking, okay, so I have, you know, one article that I posted like 3 months ago, is that good enough? No. What happens is, just like training, just like working out, you have to be consistent, because with the amount of information that's going over social sites, that's been posting every minute, you know, you want to be in people's, you know, mind that you're providing good information, good content on a regular basis. So you create a habit of your audience, like you're doing, that 40% will keep coming back. they'll know on Monday morning, guess what, it is an article posted. I'm going to go to the site, I'm going to check it out. I know something's going to be in my mailbox or in my email that I'm going to see this every Monday morning. So you create a habit.
Exactly. Now, two things came to mind there. One is those ones you mentioned, Fiverr and Odesk, could be really helpful. Not everyone is a good writer. And, for instance, being a researcher for a Canadian Business Journal, I research companies, and so do my colleagues. And someone came across a website last week from someone who he knew personally has a business, but they weren't originally from Canada, and the website is horribly grammatically incorrect, and, you know, a six-year-old could have written this, and so there's no way that impresses anyone who comes to their website. So if writing is not your best talent, or perhaps English is not your best talent and you need to write in English, this is where those websites you mentioned could benefit them. But at the same time, as you mentioned, I've tried just for like one day or a few days some of these other sites that get, you know, a million Twitter followers in 24 hours, and I soon realized quickly and stopped that that's not really going to generate the followers I'm really looking for.
It's true. I mean, the one thing I'm meeting with business, they when they ask me, okay, well, I can just spend, you know, $250, you know, $500 and get, you know, 100,000 likes. I said, well, imagine if you got someone said, okay, you know, I'm going to come to you with pages of leads, right? But I'm going to give it to you. You're not going to know where the leads are coming from, but I'm going to come to you. It's going to cost you $250. We'll put them on your desk. There's thousands and thousands of leads. You pay the money. They put the leads on the desk, and you find out they're all from, like, China, Japan, and they're in the, you know, automotive, and you're in the legal department. You're like, why do these people in Toronto? Like, how is this relevant? Well, that's what you paid for. You asked for these, you know, thousands of leads. That's what we gave you. And that's no different when you get these social media guys doing the same thing, where they're giving you 10,000 likes or 10,000 followers. And the challenge is these people are all over the world, so they're not even your demographic.
Exactly. And the writing part of it as well. Like my website, when I write a post, it has an analysis of it before I post it, because Google, Yahoo, all the search engines look for a specific number of keywords, and so if you mention them too frequently, they pick it out as, hey, this guy's just promoting and selling the heck out of this article. If you put in too few, you're not going to show up on a search engine ranking, and so you need to know how to write it, but you need to know how to write it filled with content keywords in the right proportion, not too many, not too few. And so it is could be important to use some of those sites you had mentioned to help write content, as long as you look through it, edit it, make sure, you know, it's your message and has the right keywords in it. And that's a different skill than just being a good writer, isn't it?
Oh, exactly. I mean, it's kind of funny when you look at how to write for websites. There is a formula that you need to kind of look at about the amount of, you know, words you have, how many paragraphs you have, if you have the right titles in place. And then, like you said, the scale, the ratio of the keywords versus actual relevant content.
So, exactly.
I mean,
it's
that's
so important.
For sure. And that's why, like, when you do Odesk and Fiverr or any of these systems that are out there, you look at the guys that are doing very well. They have high reviews, and then those are the ones that know this already. Right? They know this information, and then they're able to write properly.
Exactly.
Like you said, you're not getting dinged by Google saying, okay, well, you wrote one paragraph, but you have your keyword like 30 times.
Exactly. You're obviously trying to sell something. Anyone who reads that will know that, and Google will definitely know that. And that's kind of one of the main things about writing, is that you want this to show up on Google, and you want it to show up on the search engines for people looking for that type of content. So right to not only just have it written, but make sure it includes all the right social media information in it. And then also, it's so important now to get as much of the various types of of input on the website, for instance, like pictures. People are loving pictures, and a lot of Facebook people that I, you know, that I have my friends, they're posting pictures with quotes, with pictures of themselves, quotes of famous people. Also, YouTube. That's, I think I read, probably the biggest search engine of all, even bigger than Google, perhaps. And so if you can include not only some writing, but a few pictures here and there, a few videos here and there, now you're catching all the different people who, some like videos, some like pictures, some like content, right?
For sure. Now, when you look at content, and people say this, and, you know, any marketing, you know, expert will say this now, content is king. But you look at the ranking of content. Video is number one right now. If you do video, I mean, and to give you kind of a little technical background, video basically can be transcribed into text as well. So Google now is what they're doing is they're using the keywords, the titles, the information from the video, and they're ranking accordingly. So if you're using the right keywords, you're talking properly, you have the right title for your video, they'll start to rank you properly in your demographic. And then what happens is then content is next. So you can even transcribe your video into an article and then post that up. But always video, and I mean, I'm sure you've seen this going through your searches through Google, you'll see video is number like 2 or 3 up in the organic search results.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's just because video is more highly watched. It's highly watched on mobile devices now too, right, with all the iPhones and the Samsung devices, the Android network. People are watching more and more video.
Now you're freaking me out about that. Google can actually watch this video I put on YouTube and take the words and the content to figure out how to rank that.
Yes.
Does somebody watch the video, or do they have a computer listening?
It's all code. It's all in the background, just like the algorithms. It's all kind of like a program in the background that dissects the video and then transcribes and sees how valuable that content is. Are you just saying, and we'll just use social media. Am I saying, hi, Brandon, I'm a social media consultant, and today we're going to talk about social media. And social media today, or just something I'm really providing really relevant content.
Wow. So even when you're preparing videos, if you're doing your own YouTube videos, make sure that they follow along similar formats to what you're writing, in that you're not saying social media every third word or whatever your keyword is, that you're making a good video with a right amount, not too many, not too few of the important words that you want to get out to your reader and follower, which... Boy, you just hit me over the head with a hammer there. I didn't even realize that they could do this, and this is amazingly cool. But I guess with technology, there's so many things we don't know that they're actually doing. And then to transcribe it, my goodness, like I did a speech for $1 million roundtable people in Malaysia, and I would love to transcribe it, make it an article. And so I'm going to have to go into YouTube and figure out how to do this. And that would be important, wouldn't it, as well?
For sure.
You took the time to deliver the talk. Maybe not everyone's going to see the video, but if you could transcribe it, because you took a lot of time to write it, why not put it as a blog post or as an article?
Exactly.
Wow. And then I also notice images come up a lot. More, let's say, if you're searching people or products. If I search a specific person, usually in the top 3, 4, 5 results, you're going to have, you know, Bob Smith images, and you're going to have pictures of Bob Smith. So if you're writing an article about yourself or someone, putting an image in there and having it tracked back to your website is a good thing as well.
Oh, for sure. I mean, look at the growth of Pinterest, Instagram, all these imaging sites. Are how they're growing so quickly. Oh, I mean, if you look at, you know, Pinterest is only out less than a year ago, and they have like 1 million, you know, subscribers to their site.
Whoa, 1 million?
Yeah, I think,
and that's in less
than
a year.
That was the last number that I knew, but I mean, they grew so quickly. And then you look at like your Facebook feed and your Twitter feed, you see that if you see text, and this is just kind of by the naked eye, people will normally click on video and imagery before they'll click on text. So that's what you're seeing. Well, through the feeds, you're seeing these great, you know, images. You're seeing, you know, people posting images about, you know, jokes. You know, you see those charts that people are putting out as well, all are getting more traffic from those images to their blog, their website, or where they want to send them.
Holy cow. Now, tell me, because I'm interested, but I imagine a bunch of people are interested. How about some tips on affiliate programs? Because it's just in the last 2 weeks where I realized, holy snot, I've sold a fair bit of books through Amazon, and then I looked at my total earnings, and it's like, holy cow, I'm going to get a check when I'm, like, retired, when I'm 65. And, you know, even some other affiliate programs where I'm like, okay, I may sell stuff, but they're making most of the money, and I'm making, like, a pittance. Do you have some tips on good, maybe not necessarily, or even if you do, good affiliate programs or what you can look for, or some ideas on which ones you would want to include or not include?
Well, what do you have to look at? And this is kind of a really good topic. There's several ways of making money online. And when you look at people that are just starting out and they don't have what we consider as a brick-and-mortar type business, where they're not selling their own product or service, they don't have like a T-shirt shop or whatever that may be, but they're online trying to promote, you know, other products and services or something that's in their niche. So we can talk about like the health, you know, personal development, whatever that may be. And we'll go along the lines of personal development because, you know, we both understand that industry very well. So if I was looking at, you know, doing Amazon or doing, you know, ClickBank, anything along that line, I would look at personal development products that my community would get the most amount of benefit from. And then, I mean, you have to, again, the same type of process we talked about, you have to educate your community why. Why do you want this? You don't just kind of put it up on your website and say, okay, guys, here's an affiliate product. Okay, I'm going to sit back and wait for the money and then look a month later and go, okay, well, why isn't it coming? Where's my $1,000 a week check? Well, of course it's not going to come. You have to educate your community. Why? Why should they use it? What's the benefits? What's the challenges that people are going through that this product or service is going to help them with? Through that process, then that's you're going to see, you know, your community start to purchase more and start to engage more. And, of course, I mean, through a sales funnel, normally what I recommend is if people do this is have your affiliate product set up, but then have it also set up that when people sign up for the affiliate product, they also come back to you as well to be able to answer any questions. Maybe you can do some coaching and help them through the affiliate product as well. So if it's a coaching program, you can mentor them through it. Because, I mean, some people, I mean, as you know, some people go into products, right, motivation, you know, personal development, they start real strong, but then life starts to get in the way.
Exactly. And now what about, like, the example I was talking about, like, you can get a lot of people to your site, but if you're making, you know, like, $1.07 every time you sell a book, you're going to have to sell a ton of books. And yet I read recently an article for four different women who have a completely online full-time income. One of them had, and they specifically mentioned like 10 to 12,000 visits a month, which caught my eye. That's where I'm at now. And she was making a full-time income, but she was selling a program, either a course or a program of some sort that cost $1,000, and it was $250 installments. Wasn't even her own program, was an affiliate one. And so obviously if you are going to convert a lot fewer, but then when you get paid, if someone buys a $1,000 program, you're probably making more than $1.07 that you would make on a $20 book. So what are the pros and cons, and you know, how could you do what some of these ladies are doing where they're making, you know, not just $7 a month, but thousands of dollars a month through affiliate programs?
But when you look at it, I almost guarantee these ladies, what they've done over time, they've built up their list. They've built up people that they've connected with that trust them. So they're a trusted authority. So when they say, you know, come buy Even Pagan's $10,000 program, people are going, okay, you know, Joan told me to do this. Yeah, I got to do it because if Joan told me and she's successful, then I'm going to do it too. And I'm going to see that as success as well. So she's become a trusted authority that when she promotes something, it's valuable. The other thing you got to look at is this takes time to build. Right? It's not something like the lottery where you create a website, you know, you're overnight, you know, you got a blog, a WordPress site, and then also now in 30 days you're going to make millions of dollars. No, just like Gary Vaynerchuk, you got to hustle, you got to be out there, you got to be constantly educating, connecting, building up those relationships, and then over time you'll start to see, you know, $250 come in, you know, $500, then $1,000, and you'll start to build and build and build to the point where, that, yes, you start to make a living from, you know, your marketing strategies. But it does take time, and it's not something, you know, for someone that's looking for a quick fix. And, I mean, I've talked to people that do affiliate marketing and say, you know, the argument, it doesn't work. Well, how long did you do it? Well, I only did it for like 60 days. Well, of course it didn't work in 60 days. It takes time. Like any business, and this is the thing when people look at like online marketing, they think online marketing is so much faster because you have so much more exposure. It's no different from any other business. It takes time to build the business strategy, the marketing strategy, to keep consistent on that, to see that the growth is there. And then not being in that scarcity model where you're sitting there going, buy my product, buy it now. If you're in that abundant where you're saying, hey, do you have any questions? Is there anything else I can help you with? You know, here's another video. Here's some more information. Let me know if I can help you. You stay in that mindset and you're able to do that. All of a sudden your business starts to grow.
Exactly. And so, and then also, you know, you got to analyze and evaluate different affiliate programs. If I'm making a dollar for everyone I sell versus $300, how much harder, how many more conversions, and you got to do some business analysis on them. But as you said, if you're consistent over time and not expecting results in 60 days, like, come on, who builds a full-time income business, self-employment business in 30 days? Very few people. And so you do have to be realistic and honest and consistent and persistent at it and have the proper expectations as well. Don't be expecting what very, 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 very few people manage to do, unless you have some amazingly creative idea. Now, you talked earlier before we got on the line a book called Unmarketing, mm-hmm. which is an interesting title, one I'm going to be purchasing and reading myself. Tell me about that book, who wrote it, and why you think it's such a great book.
Well, Scott Stratton is from Oakville, and I mean, following him when I initially started to look into social media marketing, he really spoke about the unmarketing strategy, not to have the conventional marketing mindset that's not about, you know, promotions and ads and kind of getting people's faces. It's actually building those relationships, connecting with people, right, giving great customer service and good quality, and having that those kind of fundamental principles and business in place that you're out for your community, you're helping them, you're there, you're supporting. And through that process, you're really truly marketing who you are and who your business is, and that grows it. Versus what we used to have is that there was such a disconnect between business and our consumers. Now that the consumers have all the power through social media, being able to do like reviews on Facebook about your product or service, so we have to build that relationship so strong that they're happy, and then we're making sure that they're happy by providing that great customer service.
And which is kind of a newer model of business than the old traditional put up a product, advertise it like heck, and hope people buy.
Well, I mean, look at the Fortune 500 companies. Like 30 years ago, I told you what to do, and then you did it. Like there was no question. You know, you need to buy Coca-Cola. Okay, I need to buy Coke because Coke told me it's all over the place. I need to do it. Okay, good. Now what you're seeing, like, with the health industry growing and people understanding, people are going, Coke's maybe not that good for me. And why? Well, because there's an article written here, a video was talked about here, you know, the aspartame, the sugar, and this and this and this. And we're like, oh, okay, whoa, you know, I don't need Coke.
Yeah, so now you've got some alternate opinions and views on it that in the past you didn't have because you had nowhere to go to find those. Now, Brandon, a lot of success in any business is being able to see down the road a little bit. So what do you see as far as social media marketing in the next year or two that may be a little bit different than what we have today so that people can make sure that not only that they get involved in social media marketing, but that they're on par with and sometimes even ahead of the curve of what's coming?
Well, first and foremost, as we talked about, I see video becoming the new marketing trend. I mean, if you watch, there's a Yum Yum F, it's Y-O-M-Y-O-M-F, is an actual TV network now on YouTube, where I think it was the producer The Fast and the Furious, is created his own shows on YouTube. So you're starting to see YouTube now is becoming, you know, and they started off as a channel, but they're really taking that next step to become a TV network where the people are actually doing sitcoms and shows. So, I mean, when you're looking at your business and where your business is going to be marketing, something to think about, you know, look at how video right now is capturing the world, and anyone with a camera and, you know, internet access can make a marketing strategy around video and educate their community and do a TV show and, you know, wherever they have, in their basement and, you know, if they have a studio, whatever that may be, and get mass exposure. So, I mean, when you look at local to small businesses, I mean, you really have to think about that. How are you going to get in front of your community to educate them properly? And when you look at the masses that are watching video, I mean, it's in drones. I mean, like you said, when we talked about earlier, some of these guys are getting 14, 15, 20 million views per video, right?
And their cost was next to nothing.
Well, some of them, I mean, if you looked at it, if you did it all yourself, you bought, let's say, $2,000 worth of video equipment. You set up your studio, and that's a one-time fee, and you got going. And you got, say, 1,000 views, right, per video. Imagine that traffic that's going to come into your business, that's going to go into your store. If you had 1,000 views per video, that's 4,000 a month if you did one every month.
And you're talking sometimes even a higher budget. I have a blog camera and a tripod, and I can set it up in my office, and total combined cost was under $400, and I can deliver content about Napoleon Hill that people love. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as you said, imagine 4,000 people coming into your store. It's hard to get that many people coming into your store, but if they can come to your videos, now they're interested, and if you make them funny and one of them goes viral, you have all kinds of opportunity there. So that's incredible. Now, one thing, again, I just thought of this because I'm looking at the bio for you. YKNS S Consulting Group. It doesn't have your initials in it. It doesn't say what KNSS stands for. So how did you come up with KNSS Consulting Group?
Well, initially what it started was when I was in school in Trias. There was four of us that started out. We were going to create our own business model and do consulting. One was a database developer. Actually, two guys were a database developer, and two of us were kind of network engineers. We dealt with networks. And we used each of our last names. So it was KNSS. Well, what happened was each of these guys out of school got jobs. They got great full-time jobs, so they decided, you know what, I'm not going to go with the business model. You can keep it. And I kept the business. So I transferred that into, and it was at one point I was doing holistic lifestyle coaching and doing that, and was keeping nutrition and success simple. But then when as my business changed, I changed it to keeping networking and success simple. So I kept that. So, because I kept that model, because the one thing that I always learned was looking over systems that people are putting in place and how can they put action to it, how to make it so simple that they can do daily actions without having to stress, without having to be overwhelmed that it's just too much, I can't do it. Because I found, and I mean, you know this with personal development, if you make it easy enough that someone can do it, they'll do it on a consistent basis. If you make it too challenging, they'll quit. They'll end up saying it's too hard.
Exactly, and so you've had to be somewhat creative yourself in coming up with acronyms for your business as it's grown and changed and evolved, haven't you?
Exactly.
And yet, probably, as you started and got a name for that, KNSS Consulting, so good thing to keep it. But now you're growing on it and expanding it. Actually, Brandon, we have a call on the line here, so let me see who's on the line. Someone from a 760 area code.
The market.
Hello there. Welcome to the show. Someone's on the line from 760. Who's that? Oh, they're just going to listen, Brandon. All right. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, very good. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Brandon. I really appreciate it. I've learned some things, so even if other people don't, which of course they will, but I've learned some amazing things that I'm going to use as well to expand my website visits and my affiliate programs. And so thank you so much for that. And Is your website same as KNS Consulting?
Yes,
what is your website?
Yeah, www.knssconsulting.com. So when people see the SS, it's like Sam. So it's not like, you know, F. I know that's not difficult.
Okay,
you can't find it. Why is that? So yeah, it's Kilo Nancy Sam Consulting.com.
And I think if they just Google your name, Brandon Krieger, K-R-I-E-G-E-R, because you're on Rogers TV and Business multiple times, and you're on here and all the different things you're doing, probably that's a good way to find you as well. So thank you so much today, Brandon. You've done what social media marketing is supposed to do, give a lot of great content, gave me something to think about and a few strategies I'm going to change. So really appreciate that. Have yourself an amazing day.
You too, Tom.
Take care.